This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:35. As electricity rates continue to climb, some communities are coming together to try to offset their bills by harnessing the power of the sun. It's still a pretty novel idea in West Virginia, but communities in Fayette and Monroe counties are forming solar co-ops. Glennis Board visited the folks in Fayetteville to find out more.
Solar cooperatives are a newer trend where communities are using their collective powers to navigate the world of solar energy. Consider Anya Schulman. She lives in Washington, D.C., and when her son pushed her to go solar in 2007, she decided all the research and effort that went into it would be worth it if she was doing it for a whole neighborhood.
And so he made up this flyer with his friend Diego. They went door to door, and 2 weeks later, we had 50 homes signed up and no idea what we were going to do.
Oh, jeez.
So that's how we got started. It ended up, for the first group, it took us 2 years, and we took 45 houses solar as a group.
Schulman says ever since then, other neighborhoods have been coming to her, wanting to do the same thing. So she started and became the executive director of Community Power Network. In the last year and a half, the nonprofit has helped 16 neighborhoods in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and now West Virginia pull together to make installing solar panels a more attainable goal.
And it's really just taken off.
Emily Stever with Community Power Network.
People are really excited to go solar, and by going with the co-op, you're able to get a better price, but also support of all of the co-op members throughout the process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we provide the technical assistance to help answer your solar questions and review bids. But the members of the co-op are the ones that are really driving the process forward.
Stever says the two communities in West Virginia, one in Monroe County and one in Fayette County, approached Community Power Network, and each community has different ideas about how they want to go solar. People like Ginger Dans of Fayette County.
We just found out about this opportunity through, because we've been doing a lot of energy efficiency work, and somehow we found out about it. So we invited them here because we knew the Fayetteville would be an excellent place to find people that are interested in this kind of thing. And we've had a lot of local interest in getting solar panels for people's homes at an affordable price without a lot of money up front.
Price, technology, incentives, how to. I mean, if you're like most people, you have nothing but questions. So this is how solar co-ops work. You join a co-op or start one for free. Anyone who is interested signs up for free. There's a competitive bidding process to choose an installer. Whoever is chosen by the co-op then does individual site visits and creates and offers custom designs to meet community needs. Then you buy together in bulk, saving anywhere from 10 to 20% on cost of supplies and installation. In Fayette County, so far, about 27 residents are part of the solar co-op. Stever and Schulman met with community members to answer general questions and to help people like Tom Omley.
I believe that solar is a good option. Want to explore it and see if my wife and I want to put in our home. You know, concerned about, do they tear up anything or all the wires hidden? Just, well, what does it do to the house and being on top of a hill with high winds and those things? Those are my real concerns. Can we see it when it's done? Typical questions, what's it cost? How much do I get back? What's the payback? At age 70, I'm more sensitive to a payback than I was at age 30. I'm excited about it.
But prices vary dramatically based on many factors. Stever with Community Power Network says $8,000 to $15,000 is a good estimate for an average home these days. And there are special incentives worth considering as well, like a 30% federal tax credit. Simply put, the next time you file taxes, you can write off 30% of the total cost of installing solar panels. It's an offer that may expire in 2016. And there's also net metering, which Schulman explains is written into West Virginia's law books.
You can reduce your electric bill 1-to-1. For every kilowatt hour of electricity you produce, it reduces your bill by that amount.
Schulman says when you're generating electricity, sometimes, depending on your electricity use, you can create more energy than you use. And when that happens, you create credit with the electric companies. That credit can carry over month to month and can last years.
The solar that you produce this year might be worth, you know, $500 or $600, but electric rates have been going up and up and up and up. So that same amount of power that you produce 5 years from now might be worth $1,000. So the cumulative savings that you have from the power you generate is worth 3, 4, 5 times what the system actually cost, even before incentives.
So Schulman and Stievert laid out all this information for the folks in Fayette County and Monroe County, and they put out a call to solar installers. This week, they announced Fayette County Solar Co-op's decision to go with Appropriately Applied Technologies, or AAT, a company out of Ohio. The company's proposal focused on quality of materials to guarantee a maximum lifetime of the systems, as well as other technical perks. But another key aspect of the proposal focused on partnering with the community to create jobs locally. Both Fayette and Monroe County co-ops will continue to accept any interested parties through September. The co-op members are slated to be outfitted with solar panels by the first of the year. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Fayetteville.
This morning, we continue our coverage of the Turn This Town Around project. The series follows two towns, Grafton in north central West Virginia and Matewan in southern West Virginia, as they undergo projects to revitalize their communities. This week, teams in Grafton are receiving final feedback and getting the chance to put the finishing touches on their project proposals before grants are awarded. Sarah Lowther Hensley reports.
The application deadline has passed, but teams now have a 2-week window to edit their proposals before funding decisions are finalized. Grafton teams met Monday night. Amanda Yeager, Director for Community Strategies for the West Virginia Community Development Hub, says there was a strong turnout of more than 100 people. She says the team spent a good chunk of their time helping each other through a peer exchange.
So we asked the folks to take their application, go to another table, and hand it to that other team. And it was really great to see them reading over each other's applications, and you could see people writing notes and making recommendations, and just really working as a whole community.
Yeager says 37 teams have applied for funding in Grafton. Each team hopes to receive up to $2,500 for their community improvement project. There's enough to fully fund 20 projects, although some teams have requested less than the maximum amount. Yeager says a lot of the applications were still very vague, so they've asked them to use these 2 weeks to provide more detail. She encourages them to talk things through with one another and reach out to her if they have questions. The Grafton teams who will receive funding will find out at their next meeting on September 8th. Yeager, who's working with teams in Matewan as well as Grafton, says she can sense the excitement in both communities.
It's definitely been building. The momentum's been building. So I'm really hopeful that that'll continue, and I think that it will. And I like to see that a lot of the projects have already kind of started, even though they don't necessarily have that money yet. You can see them meeting and coming up with the plans, and you can really see the communities coming together.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Sarah Lowther Hensley in Fairmont.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:44. Mostly cloudy today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. A chance of showers and thunderstorms continuing overnight tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor. Online at stateelectric.com.
Yesterday morning, we met Carl, a chaplain at the Union Mission Crossroads homeless shelter here in Charleston. He shared his story of homelessness, dropping out of college and leaving Virginia Beach only to have enough money to get him to Charleston. Carl was able to turn his life around, finish his degree, and now works for the mission where he used to live. Roxy Todd returned to that same mission to speak with its director and minister, David Sneed, who was homeless himself for about 17 years. She files this story.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys, what are you doing? It's Capital Car. Well, I wouldn't be afraid to say there's at least about 25 to 3,000 homeless people just in Charleston.
David Sneed has spoken with many of those people. He works at a homeless shelter with Union Mission, a Christian organization that receives no government assistance and serves about 35,000 men, women, and children a month across West Virginia. The mission receives about $7 million a year in donations. Dave's job includes going out in the middle of the night, offering people water, hot soup, and sandwiches.
The people that you see in Charleston, just Charleston alone during the day, is not the same people you're going to see walking around at night.
On an extremely hot and muggy night a few summers ago, Dave and another chaplain from the mission were handing out water and sandwiches to people. Two blocks from the shimmering gold of the Capitol building, they saw a woman who was leaning against a fence. Dave offered her a bottle of water and two sandwiches.
And she asked for three more bottles of water and six sandwiches, and we gave it to her. And then she started crying, saying now she wouldn't have to go out and prostitute her body. She could stay home and feed her kids.
Another night last summer, Dave says he will never forget. They were handing out water, this time on the west side of the city.
One of the little kids was a little girl, about 2 years old. Her mom gave her that little 8-ounce bottle of water, and she was just gulping it down. She was so dehydrated.
That girl finished the water and began to cry. When you haven't had enough water, you can't make tears. They gave her another bottle of water and then another. It was so hot and muggy, and she was so tired that she continued to cry as they gave her four bottles of water. Dave has been doing this work for about 10 years. In the past 2 years, he says the number of people in need has increased as the economy in West Virginia has suffered many job losses. Since 2012, the number of men staying at the Crossroads shelter has doubled. Like many of the chaplains and caseworkers at Union Mission, Dave was once homeless himself. He grew up extremely poor in a small town in Maryland. He was abandoned first by his father and then by his mother.
These people don't know what love is. I didn't know what love is. My father, when I was 6 months old, threw me in a canal. He picked me up out of the crib one morning and walked down to the edge of the canal there and threw me in a canal.
As a baby, Dave was rescued from the water and then spent the next 6 months in the hospital with malnutrition and pneumonia. As an adult, Dave reunited with his father.
I love my dad. You know, my grandma said, oh, he tried to kill you and you still love him. I love my dad.
But it took Dave a lot of hard years living on the streets and at least four close calls with death before he got to this point of forgiveness. And he points out that many people who are homeless have been hurt and abused. But one of the things that hurts the most is whenever he hears people making fun of someone on the street. He knows the pain of that too.
I guess the whole time that I've been saved and sober, I just tell people, you know, homeless people is not the outcasts of society. They just made some bad decisions like I have in the past. And I just try to hug them and tell them I love them. You know, I believe in tough love. And
for 102 years, this tough love has been at the center of the Union Mission's work to feed and shelter those in need. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Radio, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. You can listen to and read our stories on our website, wvpublic.org. Like us on Facebook at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and follow us on Twitter at WV Public News. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. I'm Ashton Mara.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.